Yes, Josh Graham has opinions.
There is nothing that entertains the audience and the masses more than me being bothered.
And yes, he's got attitude.
Really, none of the game made sense to me.
And that's exactly why you love him.
When this all gets sorted out, I think you and me should get an apartment together.
You're on The Drive with Josh Graham.
Welcome in to a Rhinestone Cowboy Friday Drive. You are listening to The Drive without Josh Graham on WSJS News Talk Sports for the Triad. This is WD, a.k.a. Will Dalton, a.k.a. the executive producer of this show. Glad to have you in with us. Glad to have DJ Turner back there behind the glass.
What's up? What's up?
Trying to keep this thing on the tracks, make sure it doesn't burn down. You know, every time Josh is out and every time he comes back, the first thing he asks me when we get back on air, you didn't wreck the Porsche, did you? No. Do you really think I would, Josh? Do you really think I would? No, of course not. We're better than that. But yeah, Josh is out. He is at Hilton Head with Sarah Bradford. She's hosting a conference down there, doing some professional stuff, and Josh is just hanging on the beach with Willow the dog. Hopefully he doesn't have his shoes and socks on. I know he did something like that on his honeymoon, so we'll see if he does that again. It makes me just cringe just thinking about it.
It does. Ugh, I mean, is it because he doesn't like the sand between his toes?
I don't know.
That would make it worse.
Yeah, whatever. Josh isn't here. Forget about it. But I'm glad you are. We got some football to talk about here. Thursday night football. Josh would be proud of me. He really would. Because he's been giving me grief for like a year now. Because last year, Thursday night football moved to Amazon Prime. And I didn't have Amazon Prime. So he's like, why are you watching the games? I'm like, well, I just watch the highlights on YouTube, you know, to see what happened. He's like, well, you're not going to get a good picture of the game that way. You produce a sports radio show. You need to watch the whole thing. So I got Amazon Prime, Josh. Can be happy about that. And we watched the game Giants-Niners last night. And, you know, we kind of talked about this yesterday. The Niners were pretty much the story. The Niners catch the win at home. Now, I don't know. It depends on how you want to look at this. Like, the Niners are definitely the story because they might be. I don't know if there's a better team in the NFC right now than the San Francisco 49ers when you look at how well-rounded they are. They've got a dual threat in Deebo Samuel, who's just ridiculous. And they've got that dude named Christian McCaffrey, maybe you've heard of him, in the backfield playing as good as he ever has. He's a weapon. And then that defense, man. That defense is also an absolute unit. I would know that because I have them in fantasy. So there's a good reason for that.
You know, do you feel like that he gets the attention he deserves?
Who?
McCaffrey.
You know what? Up until this point, no, but I think he's starting to. Like, listening to a lot of what people have said in reaction to this game and seeing what he's doing, he's going to get some attention now, I think.
He just seems to fly under the radar. All of a sudden, you know, he comes back. Oh, he had two touchdowns. He had almost 100 yards rushing and about 75 yards receiving. And, yeah.
Well, and I feel like the reason he flew under the radar kind of like that was because, you know, he was, and no offense, and I'm a Carolina Panther fan, but, like, I feel like because he was in Carolina and, you know, they've been irrelevant for the last handful of years, you know, I feel like that would lead you to fly under the radar just a bit. But McCaffrey's something, their defense is something. And listen, they've got not an elite, but they've got a good, solid quarterback in Brock Purdy. And it's been impressive to kind of see what the Niners have done with slightly a revolving door of quarterbacks the last decade or so. Like, when you go back to, you know, Colin Kaepernick, when he was over there. They went to a Super Bowl with him against the Ravens back, I forget what year that was, but they went to the Super Bowl, and then, you know, it kind of went downhill. They move off him, and then you have Garoppolo come in, and he was solid, and you go to a Super Bowl with him, and you tear up the NFC a lot with him. And then, you know, it's so funny. It's like you went to the Super Bowl, but you still move off him because it's like, eh, he's just not quite what we're looking for. He's not quite it. And then you draft Trey Lance. You trade up to get that number three pick. You draft Trey Lance, and we see what that became. I'm still of the belief that Trey Lance might still be something. Like, he didn't play very much. I don't even remember how many games it was he played in college. Not many. And I don't know. I feel like I didn't see him play very much. And now I know he had some injury stuff as well, but Trey Lance was in and out in 2 seconds, and now he's in Dallas. I'll be curious to see. If you want a hot take, I'm of the belief that eventually Trey Lance is going to get him. I mean, the Cowboys are great right now. The Cowboys are great. Now, it is the regular season. They tend to be great in the regular season, but when the playoff kind of starts sneaking up on us, that's when the Cowboys kind of implode a little bit historically. And I don't think Dak Prescott's elite either. I think he's solid. I think he's good. And he's got a great team around him with CeeDee Lamb and others. But I don't know, man. I think Trey Lance could come lurking in the background a little bit at some point, but I think that's going to be later down the line. Not quite there yet. Back to the Niners, though. So Trey Lance, he was in and out in 2 seconds. And now you've got Mr. Irrelevant, Brock Purdy, who came on towards the back half of last year and led you deep into the playoffs and then got hurt due to a lot of injuries there for the Niners. They, you know, made their way out of the playoffs, but they made a heck of a run, were one of the best teams in the league last year, and now they look like one of the best teams in the league again. And I would be stunned if come playoff time, you know, in the NFC title chase, you don't have some type of combination of Niners, Eagles. We'll figure out, you know, what they are. They kind of have like an identity crisis right now. I don't think a lot of people are saying Dallas would be in this conversation too. I hate to say it to our sixth man of the Tar Heels, B-Dot, that we love so much. I don't think they're going to be in the mix come NFC title time because I feel like the Cowboys will have imploded and done what the Cowboys do by that point. But the Niners, all they need is kind of what the Jets need from Zach Wilson. Is now it's a little bit to a lesser degree because I think the Niners are better than the Jets, but the Jets also have a lot of good pieces too. They got a good run game in Dalvin Cook. They got good receivers, Garrett Wilson. They got good defense, great defensive line. They just need Zach Wilson to kind of manage things until Aaron Rodgers gets back next year. But that's all the Niners need from Brock Purdy, and so far they've gotten that. So far they have gotten that. Like, listening to a lot of people talk about this game from last night, like, they say how elite the Niners are. It's not even a hole. Like people like struggle. Like, it's not a hole. It's just the fact that Brock Purdy's not really elite. He's just good enough, and that's fine. So, you know, it's kind of like Scott Fitter's method that he's talked about all the time. You know, drafting Bryce Young, you know, we've got all the nuts and bolts and everything for the Panthers. Now we just, boop, drop the quarterback in. It's kind of like that to a degree, only the Niners are actually, like, doing it, and we'll see how things end up going with Bryce Young. But yeah, like, watching McCaffrey play like he's been playing as a Panthers fan, it's like that X-Man meme where X-Man's laying there on the bed and he's got the picture that he's looking at and he's sad because it's somebody he doesn't have around anymore, and that's kind of like what McCaffrey is. Panthers fans watching him right now, kind of the same deal. Also kind of miss Graham Gano, too. Like, I know Josh told me one time, oh, they don't need him. I know it, but Graham Gano was Mr. Reliable. He was really good in some long field goal spots. And I think many of you Panthers fans out there would agree. But I don't think it's a hot take to say McCaffrey's been the best back in football since getting to the Niners. The way they use him, like, he was hurt a lot with the Panthers. And now, you know, I'm telling you right now, McCaffrey, he got that payday with the Panthers a few years ago. I think he's going to get it. If he keeps this up, and knock on wood, I hope for his sake that he does, and I think he will there with Kyle Shanahan, I think he's going to get another payday. He's one of the running backs that are proving, like, okay, this is how good running backs can be. So I don't know if there's a better team in the NFC than the Niners right now. And what's really scary about it is the fact that listening to all the post-game stuff from the Niners, nobody's satisfied. everybody, like a theme, and like go back and listen to Brock Purdy talk and some of the other players, and McCaffrey said it too, I think, and I think Kyle Shanahan may have said it too. Like, the theme is we're not satisfied. Like, as good as they are, as good as they have been through towards the tail end of last year and leading into this year so far, they're not satisfied. And that's scary. That's scary when a team can be that good and they're not fed yet. They're not full yet. They're like, they see the bigger picture. They know that there's something bigger that they want. I mean, it's easy to, you know, it's easy not to be hungry when you've already been fed. And they've been fed some success in the regular season so far. And they are not satisfied at all. And that is really scary. Now, on the flip side, if you're the Giants, man, if you're the Giants, you got some things to think about, because, like, I just don't know if Daniel Jones is it, man. And you just paid him all that
money. No. I'm not going to hear that.
I'm not going to listen to that. Duke guy over here.
The dude was running for his life the entire night.
I don't know. He just doesn't have any juice.
Would you have juice back there?
Maybe they'll get Riley Leonard. He's got some juice.
All I know is after watching the first quarter, I couldn't watch anymore. It was awful. I mean, It reminds me of David Carr, Derek Carr's brother.
Yeah.
First year in the NFL, dude got sacked like 75 times. And then his first two, maybe 3 years of existence in the NFL, he'd been sacked well over 200 times. No wonder his career went down the tube.
That's fair. Now, Derek Carr, on the other hand,
mm-hmm.
he's making some noise already, and I think he might do some stuff there with the Saints. And I told Josh, I didn't realize Michael Thomas was back.
Right.
Like, I feel like he's been gone forever. And, you know, he made some big plays against the Panthers, unfortunately, last week. So,
but the Giants have some serious problems. I mean,
and Barkley's out.
Barkley is out.
High ankle
so,
sprain, I think
you
it was.
Know, they're like, okay, you don't have a running game. And we're just going to go after the quarterback. And how many times did he get hit last night? Like, by the time he'd done a two-step drop, bam!
Yeah,
it was ugly. So I'm not making Daniel Jones accountable for any of this stuff. This is, I mean, that O-line is bad.
It is. But the unfortunate thing is, even with that, is like a lot of times, because the Giants, I don't think it's going to get any easier for them. So much of the time, like, eventually, like, they're going to look for Daniel Jones to go out there and make something happen and win them some games. I don't know if they're going to. So, anyway, but it is a Rhinestone Cowboy Friday. We're going to talk some more about this game. We're going to talk about the Panthers, some new developments on Bryce Young. We've got a big college football weekend. Dave Pulaski, our high school football game of the week, he's going to be in here in probably maybe less than 15 minutes. So we're going to talk to him, Darren Vaught's next hour, and Stan Cotton is going to hang out with us later in the 5 o'clock hour. So we're just getting started. Glad to have you with us on a Rhinestone Cowboy Friday Drive.
It's the Drive with Josh Graham, WSJS.
Back on the Drive without Josh Graham, WD filling in, and we've got our high school football game of the week guy, the voice of our high school football game of the week, Dave Pulaski, in studio with us. No Hello Darkness, My Old Friend this week.
Now, do you choose the music that comes back, especially when Josh is out of town? Is this all you?
Oh, that was all me.
That was all you?
Okay. That's all me.
Cool.
Uh-huh. Yeah, see, DJ, last week, you know, because Dave's a Jets fan, we'll get into that here in just a minute. Because of the Aaron Rodgers thing, we played Hello Darkness, My Old Friend, or what's the actual title of the song by Disturbed?
The Sound of Silence.
The Sound of Silence.
And it's not by Disturbed.
And I pulled,
we had a discussion on that last week, too.
And I pulled the Disturbed version thinking, like, that was it.
No.
Like, I didn't know it was a cover, and Josh wanted to come through that glass right there.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
You haven't watched The Graduate yet, have you?
No.
Okay. Get to that at some point.
Yeah. No, I've watched several movies this week. I watched Fast Times at Ridgeway High.
Ridgemont. There's high school football in that movie.
Yes, there is. Forrest Whitaker, right?
Yeah, Jefferson.
Tears up the joint a little bit because his car gets wrecked.
That's right. What'd you think of Fast Times?
But I you know, ideally, you should be playing Elton John's Benny and the Jets.
Dun, dun. Uh-huh. Well, what about
Jets?
When I lived up in New Jersey, there was a parody song, Vinny and the Jets, for Vinny Testaverde.
Perfect.
Yeah.
No, I loved it. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
And then I also did Beverly Hills Cop this week.
Okay.
So we did
solid franchise.
Yeah, we did a double feature, got a little Eddie Murphy in here. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, Dave.
So WD, this is our time.
This is our time.
Our time, not my time or not your time.
It can be anybody's time. I share.
Can I have a pizza delivered here during the segment?
Oh, I love it. That was hilarious. Sean Penn getting the pizza. Yo, dude.
I was wondering how many lines I had to drop before you would get that reference.
The pizza got it because that was hysterical.
That was quick. I'm impressed.
I'm getting better, man. Yeah. I'm telling you, Iron Eagle, he came on with us yesterday. He's impressed with me. Like he's like, what about Airplane? Seen it. Ferris Bueller's Day Off. It's one of my favorite movies. Like we're making real progress here.
All right, good.
So
well, Graduate has to be on the queue now.
Graduate?
The Graduate.
I will write that down in my notes there. So we got Dave Pulaski in with us, and we finally did get a competitive high school football game here on SJS last week. Reagan at East Forsyth. It was Reagan's 4A opener.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, East Forsyth banged it out 29-21. But I tell you, man, that 0-4 beside Reagan does not tell the story.
I mean, I said it going into the game. I said, this is the best 0-3 team in the state.
Yeah.
And that, you know, they were a threat to beat East Forsyth, even though East Forsyth came in ranked top 10 in the entire state. So it was a great back and forth game, great atmosphere as it always is in Kernersville. Just a tremendous high school football game. And ultimately, East Forsyth made the plays that mattered most when they had to.
And your best teams tend to do that when it matters
more often than not.
That's right. Now tonight, we'll be back at it on our high school football game of the week coverage, and we've got a good one. We got Grimsley at 4-0. They're going to be at Northwest Guilford at 3-1. 7 p.m. coverage start. Dave Pulaski, Drew Brackett, is he back this week?
No, we'll have Luke Hallett with us again.
Awesome. I'll be here in studio 7:30. Kick. Give us the preview.
Yeah, Grimsley comes in not only ranked in the top 5 in the entire state, but ranked in the top 50 in the nation now by Max Preps, number 47 in the country. And this is a program that had gone through 10 straight losing seasons between 2008 and 2017. Darryl Brown took over as Grimsley head coach in 2016, went through a couple of 4-7 seasons, and then the steady climb. And now they're at a point where they've won 34 straight regular season games, going back almost 4 calendar years. And they are a threat to win the state championship every single year. They made it to the final last year before losing to New Bern, and they have as deep a roster this season as they did last year.
And it's unbelievable what they built. Now, on the other side, what do we know about Northwest Guilford at this point?
Yeah, Northwest Guilford has a new head coach in place, Chris Rusevich. He was the former Guilford College head coach for 9 years, winning his coach in that program's history.
Okay.
During the last couple of years, after the pandemic came around, he kind of bounced around. He was the defensive coordinator at Northern Guilford. Then he was the defensive coordinator at Greensboro College last season. When Kevin Wallace went over to West Forsyth, the opening popped up and he said, you know what? I want to coach high school again. I want to be a head coach in high school. So they went with him, and they had the very first game hiccup against Burlington Williams. This is a Northwest Guilford team that's coming off a 10-3 season last year, made it to the third round of the playoffs. So they were widely favored against Burlington Williams, but ended up getting tripped up at home 39-34. And Rusevich says that was probably the best thing that happened to him, because it was kind of a wake up call to the guys of, hey, 10 wins isn't just going to happen, you know, sitting in our laps. We're going to have to go out and work for it. Since then, they've given up 17 points total in the last 3 games, all wins.
Not bad. Not bad. Now they'll have their hands full.
Yeah,
tonight,
the competition's
sure.
Different. Yeah, yeah, competition's different. They're going up against Faison Brandon, who already has 9 Division I offers as a sophomore quarterback. Mm-hmm. The 2 receivers on the outside for Grimsley, future Wolfpack, future Tar Heel, Terrell Anderson and Alex Taylor, respectively. I mean, there's a lot of future of college football on the field tonight on both sides, because Northwest Guilford features their star receiver Trent Cloud, who's going to East Carolina next year. So there's a lot of talent out there on the field, and this could arguably be the 2 most talented teams in the Metro 4A conference going head to head.
Faison is unfazed.
That's right. That's exactly right. That coverage will start tonight at 7:00, and we can't wait to hear you as always on the call. Now, as we alluded to with playing the Sound of Silence.
Right.
Last week, you are a Jets fan. Yep. We do have to console you from time to time, and you give us the scoop on this. The Jets are 1-1. They were able to squeak it out against the Bills. Not so much against the Cowboys.
No.
They lost in Dallas last week, and, you know, people think that Woody Johnson owns the Jets, but Bill Belichick, he actually owns the Jets. Because what is it, like the streak, 14 games or something like that?
Yeah, we're somewhere around there right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, we were talking about this before we came on air. You don't think Zach Wilson's the guy?
No. I thought coming into this year, especially with Aaron Rodgers kind of serving as a mentor along the way, in addition to being the star quarterback, I was hopeful that maybe Zach could kind of turn things around. And going back to, you know, through Jets history, you know, relatively recent history at quarterback, I thought maybe he could turn into Mark Sanchez, a game manager where if he doesn't make enough mistakes to cost the team the game, they should be okay because of all the other pieces that they have.
Right.
And then watching that game against the Cowboys last week, a couple of the throws he made, I was like, no, I think I'm done with this.
Well, and to be fair, that was, I mean, in the first half, he looked all right. Like, he had that bomb to Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, he had the deep post to Garrett Wilson that resulted in a touchdown. And that was when I was thought, oh, you know, Sanchez would make throws like that to Braylon Edwards or, you know, guys like that over the top. And, you know, for a brief moment, I was encouraged. But then in the second half, he threw one that was like 5 yards behind the receiver on a check down that ended up as a Cowboys interception. I was like, okay, I've seen enough.
It's like he'll pop off like in the first half on that one throw, but then plays like
he'll
that
have the
happen.
Flashes, but you need consistency, especially when you have a defense that could potentially be generational.
Oh, yeah. The D-line's dynamic. Mm-hmm. Like, we saw those in Charlotte against the Panthers in preseason. We were like, oh, okay. That's nice.
I mean, basically a quarterback's job in that kind of role is, here's the keys to the car, don't crash it.
Well, because you're going to probably get Aaron back next year,
right?
You would think.
Yeah.
And with the talent you've got, like, you could still sneak into the playoffs, like I thought.
And Zach Wilson last week was Spicoli with Jefferson's car.
And I get that reference.
I know you will.
And I appreciate that reference. I really like that. Now, UCLA, they beat NC Central last week. And for those of you that don't know, Dave does Learfield work, studio hosting work for UCLA. We've got a big weekend
in college football weekend.
One of those games that has the potential to be one of the better ones is UCLA and Utah. Utah's ranked 11. UCLA jumped up two spots to 22. Mm-hmm. They're 3-0. This is their Pac-12 opener.
Yeah.
Do we think they're going to see Cam Rising?
That's kind of what we're hearing lately.
Yeah.
That Cam Rising is starting to move toward being the starter. They held him out last week. You know, they were playing Weber State. So, you know, why not give him the extra week of rest and give him a chance to fully recover, or at least, you know, recover even more from that ACL surgery that he had after hurting his knee in the Rose Bowl game last year. And that's the interesting part, because Utah has struggled at quarterback this year. Nate Johnson, who was the quarterback against Weber State, not sure if he's, you know, really the answer going forward for them. So the question is, do you take a rusty and 80-85% Cam Rising over what they have at quarterback right now? Yeah, potentially could, if you're the Utes and playing at home in Salt Lake City. I think that's going to help them as well. But I mean, the Bruins have been playing some pretty good football.
Well, and their quarterback,
they surpassed my expectations.
And their quarterback, Dante Moore.
Yeah.
Like,
really good freshman.
Right. And I don't know a ton, like, I don't watch a ton of UCLA football, but from what I've read and what I've watched, a lot of people feel like this could maybe be the game, because it is going to be such a big game, that this could maybe be his coming out party over at UCLA.
Right. I mean, he was initially committed to Oregon.
I didn't know that.
From the Detroit area, initially committed to Oregon. And then after Bo Nix said he was coming back, to Eugene to play for the Ducks for another year, he decided to look elsewhere and saw that Dorian Thompson Robinson, who's now in the NFL, was, on the verge of graduating. That opened up the opportunity, saw that there were some question marks at quarterback. And Dante threw himself into the mix, and so far he's acclimated himself to LA really well.
I can't wait for the weekend, man. So much good football. You got to read on Clemson. What do you think's got to happen in Clemson FSU? What do you got?
Well, I used to work for Florida State, so I have to take FSU and the Noles in that one.
Yeah, I think I would too. I don't think Clemson's got the juice like they usually do this year. So, Dave Pulaski, we appreciate you coming in as always.
Of course.
And we will get the coverage to you tonight. Northwest Guilford hosting Grimsley. hopefully we get a really another great game this week. I mean, Grimsley's really good.
Potential's there.
Yeah. So that's what we're hoping for. Catch that coverage starting here on WSJS at 7 o'clock. The kickoff is at 7:30. Dave, we appreciate you being here, man.
Well, thanks as always.
The Drive with Josh Graham, only on WSJS.
Back on The Drive without Josh Graham. WD filling in, and it is good to be on this side of the glass with our guy, Darren Vaught.
This is weird. This is like a, it's like a proud big brother moment.
Uh-huh.
Former intern of mine now hosting and I'm the guest. Interesting. It's a little weird. I'm not going to lie.
We've done a lot of different dynamics. Like very early on, like I've produced a show where you filled in here for Josh and.
That's true.
And then produced you guys on regular shows. And now this, like, I feel like we just.
Did you ever produce with me filling in for DG?
No.
On the David Glenn show?
I okay. never did. I was still intern Will back then. I didn't.
Little baby intern Will.
Little baby intern Will. Like, there were some times I wanted to get on that board. I was like, they're probably not going to ask me to do that. But yeah. Yeah. So Darren Vaught, voice of USA Baseball. And he is the co-host alongside Danny Graves of the ACC Baseball Etc. podcast. And they actually had an interesting announcement on Monday's pod. And I'm just going to turn this one over to Darren.
Yeah, so we're now part of the D1 Baseball podcast network for you college baseball fans. D1 Baseball is like where you go to get info on college baseball. Yep. At the start of last season, Kendall Rogers, Aaron Fitt, Mike Rooney, those guys, they had started an SEC specific podcast for baseball in mm-hmm. the Southeastern Conference. And, that went well for them. So the natural progression is an ACC show. Danny and I were already doing one. We're friends with those guys. So they were like, well, we're not going to try and outdo what you guys are doing. So would you like to come aboard? So, it's going to be big for the show. It's fun now. It'll be great in the spring when mm-hmm. we've got games to talk about and some things to do with the show, maybe go on site some places and do live editions. We're still toying around with that stuff, but it greatly enhances what we can do with it, and it moves it successfully from something that we were just kind of doing for fun.
That's
anyway.
What we were talking about.
And it moves it into the space where, you know, we're just going to be more, a little more rigid with it, a little more structured, and have our ducks in a row, which can be better for the content, I guess.
I can't wait to listen to it, man. Like I'm subscribed to you guys, and like the art, like I was telling Darren this before we came on, like the cartoon art for
yeah,
you guys
that's
is like cover,
so
album
that,
cover.
That's my guy, Kev Roche.
Yeah.
He's based out of South Carolina, graphic designer. If you see the artwork, you probably recognize it. I think he got his start with ESPN doing artwork for Scott Van Pelt
and
Russillo when they had the radio show.
Not bad.
And so like Van Pelt does the SV Pod as part of the ESPN network of podcasts. Kev did that artwork. Kev's constantly posting. He gets work with College Game Day, with Baseball Tonight. He illustrates players and this it's this cool
He's
unique
busy.
Yeah, it's this cool unique style of cartooning that he does. So he and I had been Twitter friends for a long time. I don't even remember how it happened, but mm-hmm. when Danny and I started the show, I was like, hey, what do you think about doing this and portraying both of us? So no, we're really, really pleased with it. Again, that's Kev Roche, kevdraws.com. If you want to check out his work, he's awesome.
Did you by any chance see what Josh had to do yesterday?
Did yeah, see that? I got questions. I've got questions.
I'm free to answer.
So, all right. So he was in that exact seat that you're in.
Yes. I probably should have cleaned it.
He probably should have. Josh sweats a lot anyway. So
he does,
especially
man.
With the nerves of He's fulfilling something. A bet. So we had an App State helmet on, football helmet.
Mm-hmm.
What was the genesis of the top that he was wearing? It looked to be something from like a cheerleading uniform.
Yeah. So he had this bet for the App ECU game,
right,
with this longtime listener, Mountaineer John.
Okay. Natural. I'm familiar with Mountaineer John. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
As you would imagine, App fan.
Yep.
Given the name. So Josh bets ECU's gonna win and by a nice margin, as he does. DJ back there shaking his head. Yeah. He does this stuff to himself. He really does. So he bets ECU's gonna win. They don't,
right,
by a large margin. And so the bet was, if App beats ECU, as long as Mountaineer John brought this cheerleading, because apparently this was from an old bet that they did that just, it was never fulfilled. He never brought it in or whatever.
Okay. All right.
So the deal was, he had to bring it in by Wednesday of this week to get it done. He did. He fulfilled it this time. And so yesterday we did a Sarah McLachlan where, you know, pull.
Oh, I saw the clip. Yeah. So I got to hear Josh very brazenly predict that ECU was going to win that game, which is just
said Nebraska was going to beat Colorado.
Oh, so, yeah. We had to get him on that one, too. That didn't go over so well.
To be fair, Buffs have surprised everybody. So I don't blame him as much for that one. But, nah, man, the ECU pick, not good.
We're 2 weeks away now from you and I's both probably favorite time of the year.
One of them, yeah.
The MLB playoffs. Now, there's some teams that have already clinched. You got Josh's O's. You got the Braves, the Rays, the Dodgers. Twins and Brewers are probably closing in on that, I would imagine. So getting close to the playoffs as we are, what fascinates you the most with this 2 weeks ready to go? Or what questions do you have going into this?
This isn't specifically about the 2 weeks, but it's more of just sort of what intrigues me going in is the Braves. Like, rarely do you see a team go wire to wire. Mm-hmm. Braves have been probably the best team in Major League Baseball all season long. Is it sustainable, right? Like, this is one of the most unruly postseasons that we have in all of pro sports, maybe second to the Stanley Cup playoffs in hockey. And so often you see the team that wins the wild card just get hot at the right time and make a run and win it all in baseball. Way less often do you see the team that was head and shoulders better for the majority of the year, if not the entirety of it, come through with the title at the end.
It usually runs out of gas.
Yeah, that something happens.
Could
right?
the Rays be in this conversation as well with how they started?
Yeah, I mean, they've had their peaks and valleys in a way that the Braves haven't. But no, they're good also for sure. And they're just like, man, they're steady Eddie with the way that they manage their pitching staff. Mm-hmm. And, they're always an interesting team this time of year. Cause I always wonder, okay, is this the point? Is the point for the Rays to win in the postseason or is it just to get there every year with this minimum viable product where they get the absolute most out of every player that they have? Mm-hmm. And don't have to pay as much as other franchises. So the Rays are always interesting in that way this time of year. I'm fascinated by the O's. I think they have a team that could do it.
Talk about overachieving. Like, they were coming at the end of last year, like, just being solid.
I think last year was the overachieving part. They arrived a little ahead of schedule last year.
And Matt and Holiday, he's not even there yet.
Yeah, Jackson Holiday's not even there yet. So, although he's... a couple of strides away from the big AAA. Leagues already. Yeah. So the Orioles are interesting to me. Starting pitching would be maybe the one spot you could criticize in this at this juncture. But, you know, they interest me too. And, man, the Dodgers. I think we all sort of overlooked the Dodgers. They've maybe had their best season of this run.
But everybody's talking about the Braves, and the Rays, and the O's, and nobody's talking about it.
I mean, like, the Dodgers could easily just, like, roll through the postseason and come away with the World Series title. And it's, again, we're just kind of, like, overlooking them. And they slumped a little bit, and then it's like, oh, next thing you know, they're on this, like, 92. 3-win pace or whatever it is. They're really good. The Dodgers are really good. And because of, I guess, proximity, geography, where we are, and the fact that they've been good for so long, for so many years, we just kind of expect it with the Dodgers. Yeah. They've just been a little overlooked. So I'm intrigued by a lot when it comes to the upcoming postseason.
So before we get to unusual questions and take a quick break, what's your thoughts on the Ohtani stuff? Because, like, he cleaned out his locker a couple weeks ago. Everybody freaked out about that. And then, you know, he had his surgery, I think, what was it, earlier this week that happened on his elbow. And they said he should be ready to hit by opening day of next year. We don't know for who yet. And then he should be able to pitch in 2025.
Yeah, it's his free agency is really interesting now. The injuries had sort of become a concern, or at least something teams could point to as fodder in the argument against paying him so much.
Right.
It's his second UCL injury, second Tommy John surgery. He's still a really good hitter, but it also doesn't help his case that he ended the season as a hitter on injury with the oblique strain or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it would be fair of a team to question, do I really want to pay this guy $500 or $600 million if he's not going to be what he's been?
Yeah.
Or if there's an increased chance that he's not going to be what he's been. I think my inclination is he wants to stay out west. I don't think it'll be the Angels now.
Dodgers.
Could be the Dodgers, could be the Giants. I think the Mariners have an appealing case too, but
Ooh. Hear
me out. Big market, anytime a free agent like this hits the market,
mm-hmm.
New York comes into play. Oh,
absolutely.
Right? I don't think he's going to be a Yankee.
Yeah.
But talks were heavy early of him potentially going to the Mets because of Stevie Cohen and all the money he's got to
throw around.
Would it not be the most Mets thing ever for them to pay Shohei $600+ million to come be the two-way star that he is, and then it turns out he's just a hitter, and they've overpaid this hitter? But I think they would be okay with it too, though, is the thing. It, to me, aside from him wanting his desire to be on the West Coast, if that scenario plays out, it's almost kind of a perfect fit for him to be a Met.
Darren Vaught, he's in studio with us, and after this break, unusual questions are coming up.
Let's go, baby.
What, kind of like this?
Let's go! Go!
The Drive with Josh Graham.
Back in studio with Darren Vaught. Josh, not here today. Out at Hilton Head with Sarah Bradford. So we're keeping this thing on the tracks.
I hope he found a pier to sit underneath. The photo he posted earlier of the dog did not suggest that there was a pier anywhere near.
Oh, no.
So I told him, I texted him, was just like, no piers? You're toast. You're toast, man.
He didn't do the whole pier thing. He didn't do that, if I recall right.
No, he sits underneath the pier. Wasn't that a bit? It got to the point of being a bit on this show.
He refuses.
He goes to the beach and refuses to sit in the sun.
I couldn't remember.
And then it's like, are you crazy for getting in the water around the pier?
Right.
I mean, that's the worst place to swim.
Apparently, he also gets in the sand with his shoes and socks still on. Apparently that's a thing.
Socks too.
B-Dot. Really? B-Dot gave him some grief about that after his honeymoon.
What a weird man who regularly hosts this show.
Tell us about it. And on that note, let's ask weird and unusual questions.
Last week, guys, everybody made it out that I got mad at Josh and I left the press conference. That's not right. I thought it was an unusual question, and it's okay.
It's time for unusual questions with Josh Gray.
And you know what? I'll start us off.
Okay.
Because I've got one. It's probably going to get made fun of, but what else is new?
I was
going
to say it's...
Is it a donut?
Stop. With the food. All right, continue. Go ahead.
Is it a donut if it doesn't have a hole?
Yeah.
Josh and I had this conversation earlier in the week, and I was like, you know what? That'd be a great unusual question. Because I was talking about cream-filled donuts. He's like, that's not a donut.
Hold on, did you say Kareem filled donuts? Like Lou Alcindor? Like Lou Alcindor?
It may have came out that way when I said cream.
Okay,
Kareem, filled donut.
Kareem.
And Josh told me that's not a donut because sure it doesn't have a hole.
It does have a hole where the cream went in.
Sure.
Well, yeah, but like not like
it's
that.
Still a donut.
Yeah, like if you go to get donuts, mm-hmm. you're not going to get ostracized for getting an eclair, which does not have a hole in the middle, but is a it is a category of donut. Is
see, clear.
See, he told me it was more like a pastry if it's a cream filled
or like a
donut.
What do they call them? A Boston cream pie?
Yes.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
those are good. Don't get us started on those.
No, I think I've said these exact words on this show before as a guest. A donut is like the one thing that you could just put in front of my face, my willpower disappears.
Goodbye.
Just like that.
Done.
I'm eating the donut. Mm-hmm. Eating the donut in great. Any scenario.
Duck,
so yes,
duck donut guy, right?
I do. Yeah, I do, I enjoy duck donuts. I like to. You know me. I like to go wherever I am to like a local spot. Find a little local bakery that does
blueberry
donuts.
Pancake.
Yeah,
all day.
Yeah, yeah, DJ knows.
Blueberry DJ pancakes knows.
All day.
Whew.
Darren.
But yeah, it's a donut if it doesn't have a hole.
What is your unusual question?
Have you guys seen this social media trend where girls and women are asking the men in their lives how often they think about the Roman Empire?
Yeah, you know
it's
what?
Supposed to be a thing. It's a thing that apparently like
yeah
I've missed this.
So it started with asking like their significant others how often do you think about the Roman Empire, and it turned into someone posted it and was like, ask the men in your life this question, you'll be shocked at the answer. Because, and they'll post the responses. So it's turned into this trend where they post the screenshots of the texts from the men in their lives. And most men, according to these posts, are just like, yeah, pretty frequently, actually, like maybe daily, I think about the Roman Empire.
All right, Will, we'll start with you.
Yeah. How often do you think about the Roman Empire?
I don't think about it. Right? I mean, I love medieval stuff, mm-hmm. so I can understand why a guy would be thinking about it. You know, it's funny because, like, I actually have seen this trend, and I thought about it. I'm like, should this be my unusual question? I bet Darren would love this one.
Well, so, all right.
Not food. We're going food.
So, with some self-reflection, given this question.
Yeah, do you think about
well,
it?
Well, like, I was a literature major, so, like, I kind of geek out on Greek and Roman
yeah.
mythology anyway.
It's right up your alley.
Mainly Greek, so, like, I would think about that more. But then I got to thinking about it, man. I went to Rome like 10 years ago on a trip. You know what's been my lock screen on my phone ever since?
Rome.
It's the Colosseum. It's the Colosseum. So like without actually thinking about it every day, I guess I kind of do. It proves
this
the theory, right?
DJ, do you think about it?
Only the fact that I want to go to Rome.
Well,
beautiful, beautiful.
But
city.
Outside of that, no.
So like what I thought was just like this cool weird reminder at first, because like, you know, when I was mid-20s, I guess, when I went, early 20s when I went, everything's gotta have a purpose. It's just like, oh, I'm gonna make this my lock screen. It's just like a reminder that, you know, wasn't built in a day, you know, you get just working away that,
and that's a lot of people's reasons for thinking about it,
work in a way that like it's still gonna be standing later, right? Because that's what amazes me about the Colosseum, is that it's there through everything. So, you know, it was like this proverbial thing, and I'm just too lazy to change the lock screen on my phone now, but it's been that way for like 10 years now. So for 10 years, yeah, I've had no choice but to think about the Roman Empire.
I change mine on every trip, after every trip.
Nice.
That's fair, because you do get a lot of good pictures on these trips.
Yeah,
you go on.
So like mine
water.
Right now is the blue water at Cozumel.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice.
So clear.
That's good. Mine could use some more color.
Yeah.
I'm, you know what? We're going to off air, we're gonna change my lock screen.
Yeah.
We're gonna get that done. We're gonna get that done today.
DJ, do you have an unusual question?
You know, mine's more of a pet peeve. Is it literally or literally?
What's funny about this is it would be neither for Josh, because Josh hates when I say or anybody says literally.
So my pet peeve with this word in mind, less about the way that it's pronounced, the more about the way. And I can't believe we conceded. I think it's Merriam-Webster put an actual alternate definition to this word to mean the opposite. So, you know, like it started to become a thing where you're just like literally when you say something figurative, which is the opposite, right? They are antonyms. But no, it is technically right to say literally and use it meaning the complete opposite of the definition of literally now. And that guys, drives me batty.
See, Josh?
I feel dumb now.
I just wanted to know the
Darren will do that to you. He's smart, you know? Man.
Sorry.
And that's been Unusual Questions with Darren Bond. Darren, appreciate you hopping in.
Yeah, no, fun as always. More fun without Josh here.
Isn't it, though? Crazy how that...
You've got your camera work here is great. For like those listening and not watching on YouTube,
first of all, you should.
Will is extremely aware of the camera.
Oh,
I
yeah.
love it.
You're on the drive with Josh Graham, WSJS.
Stan Cotton is the voice of the Deeks on the Wake Forest Sports Network, and he's out there. Get on our YouTube channel right now. You can see him out at the Stan Cotton Radio Ranch. Stan Cotton, how are you?
I'm good, man. This is a first for me.
Uh-huh.
I got a... Why are you laughing already?
I don't know. I'm all giddy. I'm excited to talk to you.
Oh, no, well, likewise. I have a hat on.
Oh, yeah?
I've never done a radio interview that's also, you can see us, in a hat. Ever.
Huh.
And I just realized a couple of minutes ago I've had a hat on all day, and I'm like,
you look great if that helps.
Hair, so I gotta at least it's a weight cap, right?
Absolutely.
But I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm trying to keep this thing on the tracks. You know, last time we spoke, you were sitting in this chair and I was over there across the glass, and
that is true.
Had Dave Gorin in here. So,
No.
So I did want to start with you before we get into, you know, Wake, Georgia Tech tomorrow at 6:30 on the CW. How about that? I told DJ, it's weird to say, right?
I was trying to explain that to my parents last night, and they're like, the what? It's on the, you'll find it. They love to watch the games and listen to us. But I was having a hard time explaining to them where this was going to be, but it'll be actually good, I think. So, on the CW tomorrow night.
So before we get to that game, we saw some really, really cool news today when, Steve Forbes posted on his Twitter, his wife, Janetta, hope I'm pronouncing that right. He was walking her to the car to finally go home, and just kind of take us through, like, you know, because you're around Wake Forest a lot more than I am. How cool was that to see?
Oh, it's just great. I mean, she's a fighter. You can just tell by, you know, Coach Forbes has posted some videos of her working hard, trying to get out of the Shepherd Center down there in Atlanta. She had a stroke back, you know, the 8th of August. The team was in the Middle East touring and playing, and she was down in Florida and unfortunately had a stroke, and she was in a hospital in Pensacola about 10 days. And they moved her from there to the Shepherd Center in Atlanta, and they're fantastic down there from what I understand. And she's coming home today. So coach had some video, and, you know, she walked out, had a cane and had a little assistance from coach, but walked out, got in that car, and they're headed home. So all of us in the Wake family are thrilled to see her looking so good. She's looked good all the way through. I mean, her eyes have been bright. She's got that beautiful smile, and it's just, it warms our hearts today to see her walk out of that Shepherd Center and come home where her family can be around her more easily and all that. So we're looking forward to getting her back.
And I second everything that you just said, because I mean we're right up the road from Wake Forest, so we cover Wake Forest a lot, and we love Steve Forbes. He's nothing but a content machine for us, with his little quips sometime. So we root for him, and we were really, you know, praying hard for her. So that was great news to see first thing today. So getting to this game against Georgia Tech, Wake Forest is 3-0, and this is their first ACC action. So it was against Elon, and then they ran the crap out of the ball against Vanderbilt. They did, however, have a little scare against ODU. Maybe take some of the people that through that.
Well, maybe took a step back offensively, and those are the words of Coach Clawson last week for about two and a half quarters. Turned the ball over a couple of times. It turned into 14 points, and you know you just can't expect to win very much when you do that. But to Mitch Griffiths' credit, he settled down the last quarter and a half. Did some good things. The offense got going. The defense was what was terrific. I mean, Wake shut out Old Dominion in three of the four quarters, and in the second half shut them out. The ODU defense got a touchdown, but it was the first road game for a lot of those guys. Certainly, the first road game for Mitch Griffiths as a starting quarterback, and I think he learned some hard lessons last week. But you know, the good thing, I guess, Will, is Wake found a way to hang in there, not quit, and win on the road at a Sun Belt team's place. That's not an easy thing to do. Old Dominion's got a lot of really good football players. They do, and they have worked the portal hard. They've got players from all over, as has Georgia Tech. I mean, the Yellow Jackets they've got players from everywhere, all over the South and Notre Dame and West Coast. I mean, it's just kind of the way they're building their team back right now. So, you know, Jackets come in at 1-2, but they've had a hard schedule. I mean, they played at Ole Miss. They had a shootout with Louisville. They beat South Carolina State like they should have pretty easily. But I think that, you know, you look on paper, Georgia Tech 1-2, but they're a lot better than maybe I think a lot of people believe that they are.
So since they did, and you brought up that Mitch Griffiths guy, and this is his first year as a starter. I mean, how many years has he been at Wake now?
Sophomore. This is his third year.
Okay. So he's been there a while. He's gelled with the guys. And I've heard some of those receivers talk about him, and you can see it after the game, just the way they gel and vibe with him, and which is what you have to have as a quarterback and as a leader. So how close do you think we are to Mitch Griffiths maybe having that game where he just, you know, he shows us something? He just goes off.
That's a good question. I think he's played really well for the most part. I mean, he's third in the league in passing yards, and he's got a lot of people he can throw to and spreads the ball around pretty well. The good thing about Mitch is he's just such a competitor. I mean, he's a really good guy in the locker room. He's just a good teammate, you know, he wasn't having his best game, as we all know, last week, but he was not down on himself. He was, he had the thumb going. He was pointing that at himself. He wasn't blaming anybody else. And that's the kind of guy you want and you need to have at that quarterback spot. Because, you know, even in games where things aren't going well, he's still your leader. And he's a vocal guy. He's got a lot of energy. He's up and down the sidelines talking to his linemen, his other players and all that. But I think last week will be really good for him. I think he's really going to play well tomorrow night. Now, weather aside, I mean, if it's blowing 30 miles an hour, who knows what it's going to be when the system kind of moves through, and hopefully it's out of here by game time tomorrow. But that's going to affect, you know, both teams throwing. Georgia Tech can throw it too, and Wake likes to throw it, as we know. So, but if that's okay, I look for him to have a good game. I really do, because I think that was kind of a wake-up call in a lot of ways for him last week. I'm sure he's been aggressively counseled this week during practice from Coach Clawson and Coach Ruggiero. So we'll see. But, he has been around a while. He's one of those players, you know, Coach Clawson's talked about that, well, we're inexperienced. Now, wait, how does he say it? We're young, but we're inexperienced. We're not young, but we're inexperienced, right? He's been around a long time, but he hadn't played all that much.
Right.
So he's still just kind of, you know, working his way through what it means to be a starting quarterback and having that pressure on you, whether it's pressure from outside or inside pressure. I'm sure Mitch puts a lot of pressure on himself to play well. But I think last week will help in the long run, because he – obviously can step back now and look at what he did, maybe trying to do too much last week. And sometimes you just got to eat the ball. You got to throw it away. You got to live to play another down instead of giving the ball over. That's turning the ball over is not a Clawson deal. That won't happen very long, and you stay on the field. So I think it'll be good for him, and I think he'll play well tomorrow night.
You know, I was in Chapel Hill last week when Carolina beat Minnesota, and listening to Mac Brown in the post game, he was talking about how a lot of teams don't know who they are yet at this point in the season, but he said he felt like they know who they are. Do you think, who do you think Wake Forest is, like what their identity is at this point? Or do you think they're still kind of, because they've been with Sam Hartman forever, like are they still kind of trying to figure that out?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think not a whole lot has changed. I mean, they're running the same offense, you know, different quarterback in there. And anytime you change quarterbacks, that's a big deal. I get it. But again, Mitch has been around. The team knows him. They understand him. They like him. They certainly rallied behind him last week. So I think that it's just the ball still rolling down the hill. It's just a different guy, and he's got to learn some things, and he's got to work through some of the mistakes that he's made and some of the points I made a minute ago. So I think they're fine. I think they're, you know, defensively they're really having a good year right now. And I think, you know, Coach Brad Lambert's in his second year, and a lot of the players have talked about that really is a big deal, because now they understand terminology more. They understand his personality. They like Brad. He's a player's coach. And so, you know, they've got a deep linebacker room and a deep safety room. They've got more team speed, I think, on the defensive side of the ball. They've turned teams over. 10 sacks last week. My goodness. I mean, that's a school record. That's never happened at Wake before. So they're getting to the quarterback. And so I think, you ask, you know, what is this Wake team? You know, for years, it's been an offensive-minded team. And right now, maybe a little bit the defense is kind of leading the way. And that's okay. Whatever it takes to win a game, I think Dave Clawson is fine with that. But, when both those sides of the ball are clicking at full speed, and hopefully that comes sooner than later, I think Wake's going to be pretty good again. I think, you know, they'll be in a postseason game. And again, that's still a great bet that you can make and probably win against a lot of your buddies. Who's got the second longest bowl streak in the league? And it's Wake behind Clemson. A lot of people don't know that, but you know, Wake's trying to make 8 in a row here. So a ways to go before you get there, but I think this team will get there.
So looking ahead just a little bit briefly, I mean, cause after this game, do they have a bye next week, correct?
Yep.
So they'll have a bye, and then they've got some tough opponents coming up on the schedule. Yep. They go to Clemson. Florida State's going to be coming in. I mean, they're going to be going to Duke, and you know, Duke has been what Duke has been so far this year. How do you think they're going to fare against like the more elite teams, at least as of right now, in the ACC? How would you size them up?
Well, it's going to be tough. I mean, the schedule does really get hard going forward. You mentioned the open date next week, which I think comes, and I asked Coach Clawson about this past week on his radio show, and he thinks it comes at a great time. That it's not, you know, you look at, you know, Wake will be 4 games in. That's not the halfway point of the season in terms of games. But when you go back to fall camp, you know, they've still been going at it for a lot of weeks, and it is kind of the halfway point of the entire year when you factor in all the practice before the first game started. So it's a good time to kind of heal the bumps and bruises, maybe get a guy or two back that you really need to go down to Clemson and try and compete. But, you know, you're at Clemson. Right after that, you're at Virginia Tech. And I know that a lot of people kind of soft on the Hokies, but Virginia Tech at home is just tough. I don't care what kind of team they have. So that, you know, and you mentioned the others, Florida State. Duke is really, really good. I remember watching the Duke-Clemson game. It was just really impressed at how Coach Elko's got Duke playing. I mean, playing hard and smart. Dave got a good quarterback. So, you know, it's just going to be a hard trudge through the league, Will. And you know, how Wake will fare, I don't know. That's why I think maybe tomorrow night's game, if they can get that, if the Deacs can get that, get to 4-0 before the break, and then, you know, you start really, really having tough, you know, assignments every week. And tomorrow night's is a tough one too. I think Georgia Tech's better than a lot of people would think, but so we'll see. Who knows? That's why you play the games, right? But, you know, as Mitch Griffiths continues to grow at quarterback, and you know, some other things gel and develop, I think Wake will be okay. Wake's got good players and they're well coached, and you know, if they can just get some of these little inexperienced players some more games behind their belt, they'll be okay.
So the last thing I need from you on the way out, I gotta know, what is the most recent Clint Eastwood movie you've watched? I know you've probably seen them all multiple times.
The most recent?
Yeah.
Wow. I've seen blips of Gran Torino and a couple of others, but the last full one I watched was with you.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
That was the last. You know what? You would be proud of me. I actually finished watching Lonesome Dove last night.
Wow.
Have you seen that one?
I have.
I assume you're a big fan of that one.
Well, that whole genre I like, but you know, it's I haven't watched a ton of movies in the last, I don't know, several months, and I'm not sure why. I've gotten into a lot of series, things like that, you know, on Netflix, and haven't watched a lot of movies, but I'm trying to think. I think the last movie I sat down and watched from start to finish was with you and Josh right here at my house, The Outlaw Josey Wales. So.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Wasn't it great?
It was, and I tell you what, DJ, Stan was just the greatest host. I mean, I bet he vacuumed that house for us, and he just had the works, man. He gave us cookies, and I mean, just opened the fridges to us, just all the fridges.
You know, you only get that one chance to make that first impression. You got Josh and Will out. Woo, that was pressure now.
Oh, man. Stan Cotton, thank you so much for coming on. Hopefully I see you tomorrow. I'll be out there, and let's hope the D's can pull this thing out and get to 4-0.
I hope so. That'd be great. I think they need to get to 4-0. I really think game 4 is a big one.